A level 1 and 2 risk means we've issued a WRAL weather alert day. Strong winds, thunderstorms, and an isolated tornado all time out the possibility of a rough day to come.
The crime scene tape and investigators are gone. Now a neighbor who lives across the street from this house shares his interaction with the two children who have been missing for years.
That would have to be about, I want to say about anywhere from 5 to 6 years ago. And that was the last time I seen them.
It's an interview you'll only hear on WREL.
Plus, why Japan's prime minister is making a special trip to North Carolina and how it could lead to more jobs in our state.
Right now at 7 o'clock, most of the rain has moved out tonight, but we got to take a look at what's headed our way.
A system is bringing the risk for severe weather over the next 48 hours. That's why we've issued a WREL weather alert day for Thursday. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. So expect some more showers in parts of our area tomorrow. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WREL Severe Weather Center with a timeline on when the storms are really going to pick up, Kat.
That's not going to happen until Thursday. So no severe weather tomorrow. Thursday is the day to watch. It's a WREL weather alert day due to the threat of damaging wind gusts. An isolated tornado also can't be ruled out. And the main timing for these storms is going to be during the afternoon and evening, though we could see some rain earlier in the day. And the entire area has at least some threat for severe weather. So here's the system. It's this part and a cold front to the south that's going to move through the area and bring that threat. A level 2 threat for severe storms from the triangle south in yellow, and a level 1 threat for our northern counties and green. Future cast is mixed on how early this initial band of rain arrives. The earlier it arrives, the less energy may be available in the atmosphere for the afternoon rounds. So we're hoping to see some rain earlier in the day. Our in-house version of future cast not showing that hope at this point, keeping most of the rain and storms out of here until the afternoon and evening. And that would allow for a more energized atmosphere and a greater threat for some of these severe storms later in the day. I'll have a closer look at tomorrow's potential for rain coming up.
All right, Kat, thank you. Meantime, anytime we talk about severe weather heading our way, we want to remind you to get that WREL News app. It allows you to take that radar with you anywhere you go. It's free as wherever you get your apps.
We are following breaking news in Johnston County. Take a look at this. Sky 5 over the scene of a fiery crash involving a tanker truck. I mean, just look at this. It is so charred. And in the last 15 minutes, we learned one person died. This is along NC-39, which is closed in both directions. Our Willie Danley is there live with the WREL Breaking News Tracker. Willie, you've been talking with witnesses. What have you learned?
Well, Ashley, since I've been here, I've talked to quite a few people. I actually just got done speaking to the under-fire chief who responded to this accident. As you can see, they still have this road blocked off. They're letting some of those emergency responders through at the moment, but this road is closed in both directions. Take a look at this video from above. This is Sky 5 footage, and you can see just how large of an accident this was. When I spoke to the under-fire chief, he told me this accident involved a tanker that was carrying oil and gasoline, which means that they're having to be very careful with how they're cleaning this up to make sure it doesn't have a big impact on the local environment. The under fire chief did confirm with me that one person has passed away in this accident, and it was the person that was driving the vehicle that was impacted by that oil tanker. The driver of that oil tanker, his wife is currently here on scene, and she says that he is okay. A bit shaken up due to everything that's taken place, but he is okay. The under fire chief told me that they are going to be out here for the next few hours responding to this accident. They do have to get the EPA to come here and evaluate the potential environmental impact that that oil spill could have on this area. And witnesses that I spoke to here told me that this is just something that they've never seen before in this small area. One person said that he thought it was a house fire with how big that explosion of smoke was in the air. But we're going to continue to follow this story and keep you updated with any more developments that we find out. Back to you.
Please do. Yeah, those flames were just huge. Willie Danley live in Johnston County. Thank you.
I'm Matt Tallhelm in the WREL Live Center. Happening right now, Raleigh City Council is meeting for a public comment session where they're about to hear from dozens of police officers calling for a pay raise. It's all about the people that protect the city of Raleigh here as we take a live look. Police in Raleigh, they want a 15% pay raise. That would take them up to a starting pay for officers of about $58,000, which is right now what most police departments in our area make. Cary officers start at $60,000. Fuquay-Varina, they start at $57,000. Right before this city council meeting got started, the police association had a press conference outside. Take a listen to what they had to say.
We are here again because over the last several years, the city has not adequately addressed this problem. Officers are continuing to leave without even having to change their address. They're not moving far. They don't even have to move to get hired by a neighboring agency.
That press conference wrapped up just within the last 10 minutes, and those officers headed inside here to council. This is just a public comment session, so no decisions will be made here at council, but WRL's Julian Grace is inside that meeting. He will bring us updates later tonight.
Thank you, Matt. In a rare and historic visit, the Prime Minister of Japan will be in North Carolina this week. Fumio Kishida will be treated to barbecue and southern hospitality on Friday as he tours some of the biggest Japanese companies in the state. You know, Japan invests billions of dollars into the Tar Heel State more than any other foreign country. Today, WRL's Deborah Morgan spoke with Governor Roy Cooper about how this visit could come along with another major jobs announcement.
We're going to welcome him with open arms. We're going to show him a little southern hospitality.
Since his first year in office in 2017, Governor Roy Cooper has been cultivating a relationship with Japan, the largest foreign investor in North Carolina.
We've had Japanese companies here for decades and have contributed so much to our communities. And now we're really in overdrive because they are recognizing that North Carolina is a very stable place to be.
Right now, North Carolina is home to 225 Japanese-owned companies such as Fujifilm Diosynth, Eisai, and HondaJet, employing more than 30,000 workers. The Toyota battery plant now under construction in Randolph County is the largest Japanese investment by far and comes only after North Carolina lost out to Alabama in 2018 for a Toyota car factory.
This is like someone closing a window and opening a big door because this is a much better project for us to have. It's not just the 5,100 jobs that Toyota will create. It's the billions of dollars and spin-off contracts and supply chain. This is where the future is, and this plant will provide thousands of jobs for North Carolina families and put a lot of money in their pockets. That's a great thing.
To your point, this doesn't happen overnight. This is a relationship that develops over years, decades.
And most Japanese business people do care deeply about relationships.
Any other big announcements expected this week with this Prime Minister visit?
Well, yeah, we're going to be announcing something pretty soon this week. So hopefully more jobs for our state. So we're excited about that.
Are you learning any Japanese?
I'm not very good at that. So we will have interpreters to help. I'm afraid that I might say something that I don't mean. So.
Deborah Morgan, WREL News, Raleigh.
Well, language barrier aside, the visit will include stops to the Toyota plant, HondaJet, and a state lunch at the governor's mansion on Friday. And the first ladies will take a trip to the Duke Gardens. You can read more about this historic meeting and possible new jobs implications on WREL.com. A decades-long problem in North Carolina has come to an end. Today, the Attorney General's office announced the state's rape kit backlog has ended. The crime lab receives about 2,200 rape kits every year. For decades, they didn't have enough scientists to process all the rape kits. That left more than 16,000 evidence kits untested. In 2019, the lab started work on a project to process that backlog, and that was successful. It's already yielded more than 100 arrests in cold cases.
A lot of questions coming out of Fayetteville, where the FBI and police there are looking at clues in the disappearance of two siblings, two kids who have not been seen in years. Investigators spent most of yesterday searching the home there of Blake and London Devins. This is where they used to live. Gilbert Bay's outside there now. Again, these kids were only just reported missing. Today, only on WREL. Gilbert Bays, our Fayetteville reporter, spoke with a neighbor who recalled his interaction with the children years ago.
Well, the crime scene tape and investigators are gone, but what we've learned is Ava Maxwell lives at this house and she's been taking care of foster children for years. And we were shocked by what she told one neighbor she did with Blake Devin.
It's been 7 years since James Howard moved into this house on Berrydale Drive. It's across the street from the one that Blake and London Devin lived in as children. Howard says he last saw them about 6 years ago during Christmas, but remembers Blake like it was yesterday.
You kind of been following this here, but if you look at this picture right here, is that the boy that you saw?
Yes, sir. But like I said, him, I seen him enough because, like I said, he was actually roam around that yard and the house and stuff doing things.
Howard says the picture of London is younger than the teenage girl he saw at the house, but he's pretty sure that's who it is. He says they were foster children being taken care of by Ava Maxwell. She still lives at the house. I knocked on the door to see if she would talk, but no answer. The last time the neighbors saw the children was around Christmas 6 years ago.
The girl would come out, stand by the mailbox, and she would smoke a cigarette. At the time, she was probably about maybe 17 years old.
Investigators say London Devon is now 27 years old. Court papers say she and Blake are siblings. Howard says Blake was a little mischievous and recounts a conversation he had with his foster parent.
I seen him all run across the street and almost got hit by a car. That's what really brought him to my attention. Maybe probably about a month later, the lady came across and said she had sent him back to the state.
So James Howard is doing exactly what investigators want. They'd like for folks to share their last interaction with Blake in London to help them resolve this case. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
Fayetteville police tell us that the FBI is still analyzing some of the evidence taken yesterday from the children's foster home.
New at 7, some good news for you tonight about the 82nd Airborne pilot badly injured in a drone strike on Christmas Day. Garrett Illerbrunn is out of a coma and will be transferred to a long-term rehab facility in Richmond, Virginia, run by Veterans Affairs. A spokesperson for the family tells us he can't walk or talk. He can't even feed himself. But as you can see in these pictures, he can open his eyes and is able to give some physical cues. Illerbrunn turned 41 on Sunday. With mounting expenses and a long road ahead, the family's GoFundMe page is still active.
Wish him the best. Show the Dean Center here behind me. This has been the home, of course, to Carolina men's basketball for a long time, about 40 years. But now we're hearing that may change. UNC is weighing whether to renovate this arena or, and it's a big or, build a new one. Or even off-campus facility there. The university plans to hire a consultant this month to take a look at the various options. A new facility would be home to the men's and women's programs, along with offices and locker rooms.
Stay with us after the break. New nationwide rules to curb toxic emissions at chemical plants. The three North Carolina plants that have to get their toxic emissions down by 80%. Plus.
While you were hiding, I was planning her funeral.
An emotional day in a Michigan courtroom as the parents of the Michigan school shooter are sentenced. Hear from the families of the children killed. There was a lot of pain in a Michigan courtroom today. Families of the four students killed by Oxford High School mass shooter Ethan Crumbly spoke directly to Crumbly's parents. In that same courtroom, a judge sentenced Jennifer and James Crumbly to 10 to 15 years in prison, guilty of involuntary manslaughter. Judge Cheryl Matthews said they repeatedly ignored warning signs. I want you to hear some of what these victims' families had to say to the Crumblys today. The gravity of their suffering, a consequence of, as the judge put it, certain actions and inactions ahead of the shooting.
Hiding. I was planning her funeral. And while you were running away from your son and your responsibilities, I was forced to do the worst possible thing a parent could do. I was forced to say goodbye to my Madison.
You call yourself a victim. The difference between you and Hannah, Justin, Tate, and Madison, you and my family, you and all the students there that day, is that we didn't have a hand in causing this. You caused the most cruel thing I could ever imagine. You guys made loving Hannah so painful. That is not a narrative, that is reality.
The Crumblys also spoke in court, James Crumbly apologizing, saying he did not know what was going on with his son.
A new rule could reduce the cancer risk for those living near more than 200 chemical plants across the country. Today, the head of the EPA, the Environment Protection Agency, signed new standards that will require chemical plants to reduce toxic emissions. The dangerous chemicals are often used to make neoprene, for instance, and other synthetic materials.
It will bring substantial health benefits to communities all across the country, especially our frontline communities, our environmental justice communities, communities that have unjustly borne the burden of pollution for decades.
The EPA identified three plants in our state here in North Carolina, including Georgia-Pacific in Conway, Hexion in Fayetteville, and a multi-company site in Wrigleyville. That will help to reduce toxic emissions by 80% under the new rule.
UNC Rex Hospital is rolling out a new initiative aimed at keeping moms healthy after giving birth. These bracelets are now being handed out to new moms. The goal is to remind moms to be aware of their body's warning signs and common health conditions after birthing a child. The bracelets also help alert EMS that a woman has recently given birth in the event of an emergency outside of the hospital.
This afternoon, Raleigh City Council members and staff hit the road for a mobile meeting. The BRT, or Bus Rapid Transit, took them to the old DMV building on New Bern Avenue. It offers potential development options under current and proposed zoning districts with more affordable housing. They also visited a site on North New Hope Road where current buildings have long been empty. The director of the Raleigh Planning Commission there says it's a great opportunity for growth. City leaders plan to offer some new living options for lower income families as well as higher income levels.
Here's a live look at North Hills. We can see the rain has pushed out, that light rain that we got today. But our focus now is on the days ahead, specifically Thursday, Kat.
Yes, and Thursday is the day that we're really going to have to watch for some strong to perhaps severe storms. We've got a lot to talk about with Thursday, though. There's still a conditional severe weather threat, and what that means is there's one thing that could potentially be missing in terms of our thunderstorm ingredients. We'll have plenty of moisture and lift out ahead of the cold front that arrives Thursday, and fronts usually lead to a lot of wind shear or spin in the atmosphere. The big question mark is just how much fuel or energy that we will have out there, so we're going to be closely monitoring that number, especially given the fact that it may be limited if we see any rain early in the day on Thursday. And some models are showing that potential. Basically, we want to see that rain to help lower the thunderstorm energy. For tomorrow, no severe weather is expected. It's kind of like today, cloudy skies with perhaps a light shower, mainly early in the day. And then we may actually see some breaks in the clouds by tomorrow evening, 75 for the high. The best chance would be for rain early tomorrow morning out of the day tomorrow. Thursday, we're going to be watching this round of rain to see how early it gets here. Our in-house run of Futurecast doesn't show the rain arriving until the afternoon. That would give us plenty of time to see the energy build in the atmosphere. So this would be the scenario with a higher threat for strong to severe storms, damaging wind gusts, the primary threat. But a few of these initial storms could also rotate. So an isolated tornado can't be ruled out. And we'll see this likely exit the area by about midnight. So I wouldn't expect it to last through the overnight. A live look from our tall tower camera in southeast Wake County. Some breaks in the clouds to close out the day right before sunset. It's 65 degrees. Temperatures are going to be falling only a little bit. By 1-2 a.m., we could see a few isolated showers arrive. Looking at the next couple of hours, we'll watch just a 20% chance for rain, and that would be in the Sand Hills and the southern part of our area as we see a final band of some showers arrive, but a slightly higher chance for some showers as you wake up very early tomorrow morning. So a heads up, your kids may need the umbrella at the bus stop in the morning. The chance that they would need it during the afternoon is a bit lower. High temperatures tomorrow back in the mid-70s here in the Triangle. But Fayetteville could be back in the upper 70s, especially if we see just enough sunshine peeking through. Only 71 for the high in Roxborough tomorrow. Not a whole lot of rain. It's not going to add up to anything significant in your rain gauge. If you've got a garden going and it needs to be watered, I think you're still going to need to water it tomorrow. Thursday, we're looking at about a half an inch of rain. Some areas could see up to an inch in any thunderstorms that develop. Also very windy. Thursday and Friday, we'll see winds gusting to 35 miles per hour. And that's aside from the thunderstorm wind threat. Friday, we dry out quickly. It's a windy day. And then temperatures are going to be rebounding back into the 80s by the end of the weekend into early next week.
I'm looking forward to that Sunday temperature. Okay, Kat, thank you.
Still ahead, if you're looking for an affordable vacation spot, you won't have to go far. The nearby coastal destination that ranks high on a new list for its prices. One of North Carolina's beaches ranked among some of the most affordable coastal destinations in the U.S. Looks pretty nice.
And do you recognize this? A new report ranks Wrightsville Beach, where you are looking live, third in affordability. Average hotel costs hover around $636 for a week-long stay. It's also ranked highly for family friendliness. Meals cost around $15. Beer price averages around $4.
$4. Let me know where you're finding those.
Yeah, okay.
Still nice, though. The beach is the beach.
Wake County students and families have more resources for support outside of the classroom.
The county launched two programs this school year, Neighborhood Networks and Student Engagement Team, or SET. Neighborhood Networks pairs social workers with students and their families, identifying their needs to be successful. That includes housing and food security and clothing. The SET program focuses on mental health. It's in its pilot stages. Dozens of students, though, and their families are already enrolled in the programs.
Marble's Kids Museum hosting an event for adults only. It's to benefit kids in our community.
This can be up our alley, you know what I mean? We like going there with our kids, but 21 Marbles gives people 21 and up a chance to go, leave the kids at home, and you can explore the museum and enjoy activities like laser tag and giant games with specialty drinks and pizza. It is kind of like a kid's party, isn't it? It's all happening next Friday night at 6:30. Tickets are on sale now on the Marbles Kids Museum website. Proceeds benefit the museum and its mission to make play accessible to all and support healthy childhood development.
You're so right. The amount of hours that we have spent there, it's about time we go, no kids, we're leaving you at home. We're going to go to Marbles.
You already know your way around. You know what
exactly.
I mean? You're always going to get lost. Thanks for making WREL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WREL. Have a great night.
Watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.